All right. Well, if nothing, then we will go ahead and jump right in here. Verse 47 to 52 of Matthew 13. And this is entitled The Parable of the Dragnet. And then the next one I have entitled The Parable of the Householder. So again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." So as I said here, there's really two parables here, but they primarily will focus, most people that I see, the commentators, when they look at this, will primarily look at the first one, the parable of the dragnet. And so a dragnet is basically just a big fishing net, if you're familiar with this at all. And what fishermen would do is they would get this big net, and they could either tie it to land and then connect it to like a boat and then have it go into the water where it would catch fish, or they could literally go out in their boats to the water, and then they would throw it out, and then they would let it collect fish, and then whenever they would notice that it's starting to get full, then they would pull it back into their boats. And Jesus uses this parable of the dragnet, or parable of the fishing net, to explain what the kingdom of heaven is like. And does anyone notice, just with some of the language of this parable, how similar it is in paralleling one of the other parables? Do you have an idea? Yep, the wheat and the tares parable. So if you remember when we looked at that parable that Jesus gave, the wheat and the tares, he says that there's this sower who goes out, he sows these seeds, right, the wheat seeds into the field, which is the world, and he says that this is the Son of Man. And as this wheat grows, overnight, there is this enemy who goes, and he starts to sow bad seed, which creates the tares, which are like weeds that look like the wheat. And basically there's this question by the servants, should we come and take all this up, uproot it? And he says, no, wait till the harvest. And he says at that point, then these professional reapers, which are the angels, will come in and they will separate the two. And one will be burnt and the other one will be put in the master's house. So if you remember that parable, and especially a lot of the language that they use, is very similar, a very similar concept here. Because it's saying then, like how there are these wheat and weeds, they're now saying there are these types of fish, right? And how it's, then it says the kingdom of God is like a fishing net that starts to gather just all different types of fish. And I think that this is important for us as Christians, as people in general, as we look at the world, when we look at those who are in our church, we recognize there are all different types of people, right? Whenever we're thinking about the kingdom of heaven is a big net trying to draw and catch as many different types of fish as it can. Likewise, with the church, when we are called to be evangelizing and with the power of the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit, we should be not trying to discriminate on who comes to the kingdom, right? We want, whether or not you're old, whether you're young, whether you're poor, whether you're rich, whether you're black, white, regardless, we are wanting to continue to cast those nets out, right? And then there's this, obviously we know how when Jesus talks to the disciples and he calls them to follow him, he says, "I will make you fishers of men." So there is this sense in being a part of the kingdom in which we all will go out, we will all be trying to cast nets, and we will all be trying to fish for people, right? And so he uses this analogy then to explain how there is this big gathering of people. And then what happens then is, like in the parable of the wheat and the tares, there are these reapers that come and they separate, right? And then in this text, it says that there's this, the fishermen who will come and bring all of the fish full, this big net full of fish. He'll bring it to the shore, and then he's going to look at the different types of fish. And he's going to sort the good fish, the just, he's going to put them aside and use them, and then he's going to throw away or cast out the bad fish, right? Which the parable describes as the wicked. And now what's just interesting about this, and though, as I said, the kingdom in a broad sense, there's this net and there's the parallels for disciples to be fishers of men. The fishermen actually in this parable is the angels, right? Just like the reapers are the angels in the parable of the wheat and the tares. The ones who are actually doing the separating and dividing are the angels as being servants of the Lord, right? So when, as Jesus is coming back at the end of the age, his return of the Son of Man, he will be sending out his angels, and then they will be the ones doing this separation. So, like, as I said, so though, yes, we are all as Christians, as disciples, we are called to be fishers of men. In this parable specifically, it's primarily looking at the angels as being the ones that will be drawing this net in and separating the two. So we as Christians are not called to separate in this sense, and how this parable is talking about it. But as we look then, we have the two types of fish. We have the just, and then we have the wicked. And the just are compared to the good fish, where the wicked are compared to the bad fish. So there might be this question then, so what does it mean to be the just, or what does it mean to be a part of the good fish? Well, I think that Jesus has been telling us this throughout basically all of the other parables of the kingdom, because he's been describing the kingdom to them. And I think it's interesting that he would use the wheat and the tares parable at, near the beginning, which is tied and connected to a lot of the other parables, and then how he basically uses a very similar parable to draw it to a conclusion for these parables. And I think that what he's saying then is, who are the good fish? Who are the just people that will be put into as the wheat, or put into the owner's barn? Or who? What are the good fish that are kept by the fishermen? I think these are the people that are the good soil in the parable of the soil. They're the good soil that is hearing the word of God. They're receiving it. And then not only are they receiving it, but then they continue to endure. They don't allow the cares of the world, the lusts of the flesh, the thorns of life to choke them or to hinder them. They continue to grow, and then it says that they multiply, right? So that's one instance in which God or Christ has shown how the kingdom of these good fish or the just will work through the kingdom. We then see that there are those who, in the wheat in the tares parable, is the ones that God has sown, right? So God, the Son of Man, was sowing in the field of the world. The wheat that was growing, those are the ones that God has been working on, and we are then the effect or the cause or result of what God has been doing in our lives. So if you are a Christian, if you are someone that has become a part of the kingdom, then you are someone that has been worked on by God. God has labored in your life. He has, whether it's been by pulling or provoking with the Holy Spirit, whether you've heard the gospel, whether he's used other people in the church to lead you to Christ, all of these things are examples of God working and laboring and sowing into your life so that you would then become part of this body, part of the kingdom. But then we also see then that those who are found are those who have found and possessed the treasure or the pearl. So those who have recognized the value of the kingdom and those who have decided, I want to be a part of that. That would be another example of, so those who are good soil, who hear the word, receive it, endure, those who have been worked on by God, those who have found the value of the kingdom and have decided that they want to possess it. These are all examples of those who would be the good fish, the just. And then therefore, so those who are the wicked, on the other hand, would then be the opposite. They would be the ones who were not receiving the word of God. Right? And as we saw, there are multiple different soils for that, right? There are some that maybe have received it for a while or fell away. There are some that were so hardened by the wayside or the path that they just were so hard that they wouldn't even receive it at all, wouldn't even have it given a hearing. And then the enemy would just come up and swoop it up. Or you'd be the weeds, the tares, in which the enemy has been working in your life and you've been deceived, and it's been continuing to lead you towards an opposite path and be opposition. Or it could be someone who doesn't see value in the kingdom of God, doesn't see value in Christ, and then they therefore are not receiving him. So That's the primary separation of the two. You have these good fish, the just, and you have the bad fish, the wicked. And every single one of us are one of those two fish. You're either the good fish or the bad fish. And the kingdom of heaven is pulling and drawing you in. And there will be this time where the angels will come when the Son of Man comes. And there will be this judgment or this separation. But before I go there, I think we have a comment or question. Do we have a microphone that we can get to them?
Thank you. So I'm sitting here thinking probably for the first time through this teacher, maybe my life. And, okay, Jesus is teaching those that have ears to hear. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess I've always kind of looked at these as Christian. But Jesus is talking to Jews and Gentile. So this is even before Christianity, before he had disciples. He had many disciples that started following during that time. So I'm starting to look through these different things here, and he's saying these things, and basically it's the Jew and the Gentile that he's talking to. And then we reapply this after Christianity comes along. Mm-hmm. Basically someone in a whole different way. Am I wrong there?
No, that's actually a great point. And I think there's going to be a little bit more to that when we look at this second parable, the parable of the householder. But if you remember when we talked about the kingdom of heaven as a whole, right? When Jesus was talking about the kingdom and he uses the wheat and tares, what was the big thing? Was the Jewish expectation was what? That the Son of Man would come in Daniel, as it says, and they would think that he was going to set up his whole kingdom on earth. He was going to take over Rome. He was going to make Israel the kingdom again, right? He was going to be like a Davidic king. And so that was their expectation. And whenever he all of a sudden started to teach, no, actually, the wheat are going to continue to grow. The righteous, the just, the good fish, they're going to be the ones that are going to continue to grow up. But there's going to be these weeds that will continue to coexist with you, and they'll be entangled with you all the way until the end of the age. So then what he's saying is he's trying to counteract what some of the Jewish teachings or thoughts were at that time, and he's trying to explain how his kingdom is coming and is already started because Christ is here now. But he's trying to eliminate some of that Jewish false expectation by explaining the truth of the kingdom. And like I said, there's going to be a little bit more in this next parable that we'll look at that explains specifically how he mentions old and new and how there's this connection of the old truths that we know of the Old Testament and some of these new truths that Christ is bringing with the kingdom and in these parables and so on. But we'll get a little bit further in that. Did that kind of address what you were thinking through? But yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, and that's true. And they wouldn't have been coined as Christians, though there were, as you said, disciples of Christ. There were those who were following him, who we would call now as they were Christians, right? But yeah, the formal church itself, no, it wasn't formalized at this point. They weren't really using that term. Even the people that were Jewish at that time were even kind of, is this another sect of Judaism, or is this something completely different? And that's basically what Jesus is starting to reveal in all of these teachings, all of these parables, explaining how there is this attachment to the Old Testament and what the Jews would believe. And as we would say, there's many Jews that receive it and then become perfected Jews in a sense. He has another one.
What goes along with this is that Jesus was the rabbi. Mm-hmm. That they began to follow. So here, the other rabbis were definitely teaching something totally different. I guess that's what you're getting ready to go to. Jesus, the rabbi, they started following, is teaching something completely new. That maybe is this next one you're going to.
Yeah.
So here, all these people are going along. They've never heard what he's talking about. Because the other rabbis would be talking probably about the first five books of the law, basically.
Yeah, and there'd be the Pentateuch, which some would, and you have like, I believe it was the Sadducees, I think, that they primarily would only affirm those books, where you had the Pharisees who would affirm some of the prophets and more of the Old Testament books. So there was different groups. Not every group would all believe the same thing, just like we would see in the church today, right? There's denominations all around. We have a lot of common ground, but there's certain things that we differ on. And I wouldn't want to say that every single person in Israel was teaching wrong. I would say John the Baptist. He was probably really like the last Old Testament prophet. Even though he's technically in the New Testament, he was the transition of the kingdom to come, right, with Christ coming. And he was to prepare the way. So there were some that even though they might not have understood the what it meant to be the consummation, the completion of the kingdom, they did have these truths of the Old Testament that they were teaching, but there, as I said, there were certain Jews that were understanding the prophecies as this is going to be a literal physical kingdom at the first coming of the Son of Man in which he will set up his kingdom. So that's what he was trying to eliminate, that expectation, saying that's not how it's going to work. Actually, I'm going to come, serve, and be rejected and die, actually, as part of the setting up of the kingdom. So, any other thoughts or comments just on kind of what we've talked about right there? Okay, well, if not, as I said, there is this separation that occurs, right? We see that in the wheat and the tares, and we see that here in this parable. And what's interesting is it reminds us of the judgment that will occur at the end of the age. When Jesus comes back, when he sends his angels to come, there is going to be a separation. And that will be a judgment. And Jesus is mentioning this now twice out of the parables. And this once again speaks to the fact that Jesus spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. And it's not because Jesus is trying to just scare you. It's not because Jesus is trying to condemn or hate anybody, of course. We wouldn't say that. But it's because Jesus understood the severity of the situation. He understood that there was a reality, there would be a separation, and he wanted to ensure that they were warned about it. It'd just be like if you were to recognize someone was in grave danger, if there was a house fire, if something were like that were to occur, you would understand the pressing need to continue to mention to them the severity of their situation. And that's what Jesus continues to do. And we know in John 3:17, you know, the Son of Man was not sent into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world it might be saved, right? So Jesus isn't coming to condemn, but he is warning, and he's talking about hell a lot. So as Christians, we want to do it in love and grace, but hell is a topic that we have to talk about, and it's got to be something that we need to be comfortable about. Now, you don't want to be that person, like I said, that's just every single first conversation you have to have with someone is, you know, you're going to hell. We're not saying that, right? But we don't want to just say, you know, well, we're all going to heaven because we're all good enough, right? That's not the teaching of Christ. We have to understand there are good fish, there are bad fish, and we want everyone to come to become the good fish as the kingdom, the net, is continuing to gather, because there's going to be a day we're all going to be pulled to shore. And at that point, there's no more swimming in the water. There's a time where Jesus will come back, his angels will come. And here's the big thing is this, is that the parables, as we mentioned before, the parables are a form of judgment to those who are hard of hearing, right? Those who don't have the ears to hear, those who are rejecting Christ and his miracles, his teachings. And this is a temporary, a partial judgment here, in which there is still hope for these people at this time. God is using this to work on them so that they may hear this, that they might be envious of those who are receiving it and seeing what Jesus is doing, so that they might be grafted back in. But he does this also as a warning to those who are listening, who are receiving, so that they won't become hardened of heart later or hard to hear because of this separation that will occur that is permanent. So the parables are temporary, but hell is eternal. And that's what he's trying to say here, and he's making such a big point. And that's why he used the same language. He talks about a fiery furnace in both. He mentions a wailing, or sometimes it's, what's the other one? The wailing and the gnashing of teeth, but sometimes wailing is replaced with another W word, and it escapes me at the moment. Does anyone remember? Weeping, thank you, yes. I couldn't think of it. Sometimes wailing and weeping is replaced in the translations or in the certain verses. But yeah, there's the wailing, weeping, or gnashing of teeth, this fiery furnace. All of these things are pointing to very, very bad right? I know that there's certain debates between brothers and sisters in Christ on, is there really fire in hell? Well, the thing is, I don't think any of us really want to know or have to find out, right? But we do know that when he describes it, when we think of fire, we know that it destroys. We know that if you've ever been burnt, we know how painful it is. We know that there's agony in it. So even if it's a literal or a metaphorical fire, it's something that we want to stay away from, right? And then, as I said, it uses the wailing or gnashing of teeth. And there's different connotations to gnashing of teeth that I've found. There's this regret, potentially, that when you just really regret something and you grit your teeth, but it also could be anger, just continuing to be giving yourself over to rage or anger. Maybe it's anger continued at God. Maybe it's anger at yourself. And then there's also just when you're in pain. If you like have a hammer and you accidentally hit your thumb, what do? You immediately go and recoil, right? So it could just be all of these combined, all of different aspects, depending maybe on our own life. But the point that Jesus is making is this is going to be miserable. Think about what it's like to be miserable and to recognize that it is forever, for eternity. And that is where certain people that you know and I know are going to spend the rest of their lives. This also, once again, points to the fact of why the gospel is so important for us to go out, make disciples, to preach the truth, right, in love, because we don't want people to have to go there. And we ourselves don't want to become disqualified. We don't want to put ourselves in that separating pile. But Jesus is speaking about this because, once again, he loves us. He wants us to know what the kingdom of heaven is like, and he wants to know the truth. And so he gives us this warning through the parable of the dragnet. So, once again, there's this separation, and we are called then to be faithful, and Jesus will sort them out in the end, right? Remember, Jesus is just. Jesus is gracious. He's merciful. At the end of the day, don't put the burden on yourself to think who is saved, who is not. What can I do? Remember, it's Jesus. Jesus will sort them out. He's good. He knows what he's doing. So any other thoughts, questions, or comments on the first parable before we go to the second one that's kind of tied in there? No? Okay. So I'm going to just read this again. It's the last two verses of this section. So verses 51 and 52. So this is right after he just explained this parable of the dragnet, talked about the judgment. And then he says, Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" And they said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." Okay, so as I said, sometimes this parable is overlooked and they kind of just use it as like a little summary. But really, he's using a parable here because he says he's comparing those who are instructed scribes to a householder, right? So, like I said, it's a small point, so you can call it a parable, not call it a parable. But he is using a comparison here of what a scribe that's instructed is like, and he uses it to a householder. But what's interesting, before he uses that comparison, he asks his disciples who have been listening to all of these parables, and he says, "Do you understand all these things?" And they say, "Yes, Lord," which can be kind of comical if you think about it, because surely they didn't understand all the depths and everything, all the implications, everything that came with it. But I don't think that they were probably being dishonest, though, either. They probably, in a general sense, understood what the teachings were, because we don't even understand the full depth of everything that is going to occur in these parables. Surely we can break certain things apart and we can discuss and have application, but to know the full depths of all that is the kingdom of heaven, we don't understand. But they did understand at least the primary focus of what Jesus was wanting to teach them. They understood of this judgment, of this kingdom, different things like that. But so Jesus says this, and they say yes, and then he uses this parable then to kind of challenge and encourage them based on what they just said. And he says, "Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven." So what he's saying there is, scribes, those who have the information, those who are being taught, they are then like a householder. So someone who owns a house, right? Who has like a storeroom of different treasures, different possessions, in which as a if you own your house and like there's certain things you want to go show somebody, and maybe you go and grab one of your old things that you really cherish, or maybe there's a new thing that you just got and you want to cherish. Just like that, those who have been instructed are called to go and grab the old and the new to use it. And so what he's saying here then is, he's saying, you are my disciples. You have just said, we understand what you have been instructing us regarding the kingdom of heaven. You're saying, yes, we understand these truths. And he's saying, okay, that means you are now a householder for the kingdom. You are someone who has now the old and the new treasures. And so what are these treasures? They are the teachings, I would say, of the Old Testament, and then the new teachings of Christ. So these are kingdom teachings. So now, as these disciples have been hearing all of these teachings, they hear the parables, the same parables now we have been discussing and looking at, he's saying, you understand, you are now a householder. You are now qualified to be a teacher, to go and to teach those the teachings of the kingdom. So as we are called, as I said, to be like a part of this net that's going out into the kingdom to draw all different types of men and women, that's what we're called to do. We're called to be the teachers, the householder, in which we will go grab the teachings of the Old Testament, and we'll show how this is teaching what Christ was, how I believe it's Philip. He sees the eunuch, right? And the eunuch is reading Isaiah, and he sees he's reading the Old Testament. So what Philip does then is he goes and he grabs some of the new treasures so that he can reveal more and explain how they connect together. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, so as a disciple, as someone who has heard these teachings, as understand it, you are now called to use both the Old Testament and everything now I'm going to teach you, which is also a part of the Great Commission, teaching or commanded to go and to make disciples and to teach them all the things that I have commanded you, right? So both old and new, as Christians, you are called to utilize all of these treasures that God has given us because of the kingdom of heaven in these parables. So that's a great honor, but it's also a great challenge. So if you have heard these teachings these last few weeks and you understand them, you are obligated and you are given a responsibility now. You can't just say, I didn't understand, or, you know, I'm not someone that's really a big talker, or I'm uncomfortable to go and evangelize. No, this is something you are now given this duty as a householder. Yes, it's a call for action, exactly. And that's the thing about being a disciple. Discipleship is not passive. Discipleship is actively following Christ, doing what he does. And the greatest thing that I love about these parables is we get to see exactly how he taught, right? All of Scripture is the Word of God, right? So Christ, his Holy Spirit, all of these things are inspiring all of Scripture. But this is exactly how, when he came incarnate form, how he was going to talk to them, how he was going to teach. So it's so cool that we get to have this now. We are given these treasures, and then we are now called to share them with others so that they hopefully will see it and receive it. So any other just thoughts, comments, or questions?
I hate to be the only one here talking tonight, but it really has just challenged me, so I think that's pretty good. Like, the scripture you just gave, I don't think I've ever pondered on it. You said the,
which one were you referring to?
The householder.
Oh, the householder.
The old and the new, the information. When you think of treasure, I think most of us think of treasures, old, antique, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. But when you get a brand new thing in time, it becomes antique. It becomes bad. And we don't even know with that, like a baseball card. We have no at all till that player develops and how much value that card is. And yeah, it's like amazing that just that little scripture right there, if you see in Jesus talking to the Jews and Gentile, and he said, okay, like you referred earlier, you have the old, but I'm the new.
Yeah.
You're not even, you say yes, but you don't even know what you're saying yes to. The Son of God right here in your presence is teaching you new treasures.
Yeah.
The new stuff. And it's like, wow. You know, they don't even know. It's not really revealed till later on.
Yeah.
So that's where it's just that little scripture. You know, you and I have a lot of deep talks like this. So it's kind of interesting that just to challenge this one scripture He said, well, have you really dug into that and find out what the Spirit's trying to reveal to you? And so it's really good.
Yeah, and that's why I've been keeping a lot of my Tri-C Elementary baseball cards, and I signed them. So, because I know that one day they're going to be really valuable. I know I'm not that great of a baseball player, but I'm waiting until the new kingdom comes. I'll be probably the best one around. So if you guys want one, I'll charge you guys $50 because I like you. But that is a great point. And just something you said kind of just revealed a little bit more to me about thinking Jesus is comparing his teachings to all of the Old Testament teachings. So the prophets, Moses, he's saying these are all treasures. He's like saying my treasure, these new treasures are equal to these old treasures. So he's basically saying as you hear these words, they're scripture, which obviously now we have scripture, so we understand that a little bit more. But to them, hearing that for the first time, saying my words that you were literally sitting here by the water hearing me teach, you were literally hearing God breathe scripture right now for the first time, which is amazing to think about. Yeah. Do you have a microphone there? Did it turn on or did it die?
Yeah, as it was brought up, this Matthew was written to the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that the Jews that were listening to this parable, they're wanting old tradition. They're wanting some of their old heritage. And Jesus is saying, hey, don't get rid of that. It's great too. Mm-hmm. And they love to hear that.
Yeah.
Therefore, by him putting, letting that be part of it, they could then receive the next part of it. He didn't say, this is it and all that other is garbage. He said, that's good. And going back to Philip, it said, when he got there, that the eunuch was reading from the old law.
Yeah.
And the Bible says, starting from where he was, in other words, starting from where he was, he preached Jesus.
Yeah.
So we know that starting from where he was, then he preached Jesus. And then the very next verse says that the eunuch says, well, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? It doesn't say that he preached Jesus from baptism.
Mm-hmm.
It says he preached Jesus. So somewhere in preaching Jesus, baptism was also involved.
Yeah, that's good. And I just love how you said that. It's such a good pastoral and just for all people to remember when it comes to doing ministry, how you don't allow yourself to make additional stumbling blocks that are unnecessary. How, Matthew, as he said, was talking primarily writing to the Jews. He wanted to ensure that this was mentioned in there so that they understood that they weren't just trying to say, get rid of all of the Old Testament, get rid of the law. He's doing a completely new thing. He's completely disregarding what we've already learned. He wasn't doing that because he knew that that wouldn't relate well and that they would completely reject it. He was meeting them where they were at. Likewise with the eunuch, he was meeting him where he was at. And then I believe there was something, Russ, you said earlier too, I think that connected that same concept though about how we all should continue to reach out to people and to connect with them and share these truths where they're at. You can't expect every single person to be a raised Christian that, knows all the teachings of scripture. You have to meet them where they're at, be willing to minister to them and go along with them. And maybe it was even that the baptism conversation was later as he continued to meet him and respond to his questions and concerns.
Are we almost finished, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
You in a hurry to go somewhere?
No, but I'm being really challenged in my spirit. We're reading the book for men about the voice of God. And listening to the voice. That's why I asked for it at the end. As you sit here and say your baseball card, you kind of just threw that off. And I've told you some things before, Zach. I don't think you realize what God has for you. I don't think you realize where God has you and your potential and the place in the kingdom of God. And I said here, my wife understands this when it was Michael. And Michael was just a youth with us at 14 years old. Now he has 7 churches and he has a huge church and a big ministry and so on and so forth. He was in my youth. And I sat here and I looked at you. I hear God speak to me. And it's not to puff you up or say anything. It's just to throw this out. Is that where you're at right here, I think in time, I may not be around to see it. Some of us are old. But my goodness. Because that's what we're supposed to all be about. To be servants to God. And you serving here with us. And you teaching here. Then 20, 30, 40 years from now. Where God's going to have you in the kingdom of God. And what you're doing and what you're about. That's what Jesus is telling even these people. The new treasures. You basically are a new treasure to the kingdom, to God's work. 40 or 50 years down the road will be all the crowns that you get to lay at the feet of Christ because of the service that you've done for the kingdom. And that baseball card, it's going to have much value because we're going to say, wow, this boy right here. And you guys know Zach different than me. I never knew him in that age. I only know him in this life when I met him at McDonald's.
You missed the good times.
But I'm telling you, I'm just telling you that you are a gift. And that's not to puff you up at all. That is almost, I don't even want to say it's prophetic or whatever. It's just that you see down the road that if we give ourselves totally to God's work and we yield and we say yes, instead of following your dreams, you go to ministry and so on and so forth. God honors that. And that is planted in the soil and it reaps a tremendous harvest.
Yeah.
So I hear all that. God just tell me all this stuff.
Well, I think that's just thank you for that encouragement and that word. And I think that's just a good, once again, a good encouragement and challenge for all of us is we want to just do what Christ is calling us to do. As we hear these teachings, we want to be good householders and we want to utilize what God has given us. Amen. So that will conclude our time of our parables of the kingdom.